Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
That this cannot continue. There will be either peace or there will be tragedy for Iran far greater than we have witnessed over the last 8 days. Remember, there are many targets left. Tonight's was the most difficult of them all, by far, and perhaps the most lethal. But if peace does not come quickly, we will go after those other targets with precision, speed, and skill. Most of them can be taken out in a matter of minutes. There's no military in the world that could have done what we did tonight, not even close. There has never been a military that could do what took place just a little while ago.
President Trump speaking this weekend after it was a 9 o'clock hour time. And just listening, gosh, it was so short. Kind of expected him to go on a little bit longer. It was like 6 or 7 minutes or something like that. I think that everybody who got to listen, or got to see this unfold, heard the news, that it's a really important opportunity to gut check. When you heard that we had done successfully what we had done, what was your initial emotion? Because there's lots of time for thinking and analyzing, but what was your initial emotion? I want to ask that to our friend, Senator Jim Talent, former United States Senator from Missouri, former congressman and chairman of the Reagan Institute's National Leadership Council. Senator, thank you for being back with us today. We just spoke with you Friday, but it seems as though the situation has changed.
Yeah. You mean the Iranian response, if we can call it that, or do you want that at Al-Udeid Air Force Base? Yeah, well, this, to me, shows all the signs of a propaganda thing. They warned the gutteries that it was coming. They launched 6 or 7 missiles. They've done this before. I think in 2020, when we took out Soleimani, they did the same thing. They warned us and then sent a few missiles that they knew were going to get shot down. So we'll see what President Trump does in response to this. I feel reasonably certain there will be an American response, but we'll see how heavy it is. What you just quoted the president saying is, of course, correct. Iran is undefended essentially now. Their proxies have been removed or decimated. They've lost most of their missile arsenal, and the Israelis are taking out much of the rest of it. And so this is just a question of how the president wants to manage as this war winds down, which I expect it to do in the next week or so.
Really? The next week or so, you think that this, does it fizzle out? Do you have Iran attacking kind of in the way that you're saying, a safe face operation, just like they did in the response to Soleimani? And then we just kind of wait it out and nobody does anything else?
That's what I expect. Now, I have to say, it was kind of you to introduce me and to present me as an expert, but I thought the president would order an attack on the nuclear facilities. I thought the 2 week when he mentioned 2 weeks, I thought he would wait until they were done. He fooled me along with the Iranians. It was really a brilliant tactic the way he did it. So, it's up to him what he wants to do. I don't think we're going to see the regime collapse because there aren't organized forces in Iran. I don't think you're going to see the regime overthrown. It could collapse. There aren't organized forces in Iran that are in a position to take it out unless there are elements in the Iranian Revolutionary Guard or the Iranian army that want to do it. You could see an internal coup. I think the most likely thing is that this will peter out when the Israelis are done taking out their targets. The Israelis wanted to take out the nuclear facilities and they wanted to take out the ballistic missiles and the ballistic missile infrastructure because those were, along with the proxies, those were Iran's defensive. That was their architecture of deterrence. And I think it's all going to be gone in the next week or so.
We're speaking with Senator Jim Talent. I kind of tuned in when this was taking place. As soon as I got the alert on my phone, I went straight to watch the news and also read through my social media feeds. What were your thoughts? I don't know if you ever talk about your emotions, but I'm kind of curious about it, Senator.
Well, sure. Relief, because as I said, and I've said on the show several times, I thought the single worst thing that could happen in the Middle East was Iran getting a nuclear weapon. And I believe that they were undertaking to complete that process because their proxies had been removed and their air defenses had also been, they knew that they couldn't win a missile fight with Israel. And so they would want to resurrect their influence and their deterrent power. And so I thought, well, the only way they can do that is to get a nuclear weapon. And so we needed to move quickly. As I said, I thought the president would probably, I was fooled. I felt relief, but I also said to myself, damn, he fooled me too, right?
I understand.
But this needed to be done. Iran would have been, had they gotten a nuclear weapon, and I think this infrastructure is gone. They're being very cautious, our people and the Israelis, about their after-battle assessments. But I think they're basically back to square one if they want to build one, and they're not going to be able to do it. And had they gotten a nuclear weapon, it would have been North Korea on steroids. That's how I've described it to people. Without the constraints that currently exist on North Korea, which are first and foremost the fact that the countries that surround them, to include China, are stable, powerful nations that do not want North Korea to use a nuclear weapon. If the Chinese thought the North Koreans were going to launch, you'd see Kim Jong-un disappear. The Chinese do not want that. There are constraints on North Korea. There would be no constraints on Iran. And their ideology is a combination of a sort of anti-imperialistic, pseudo-Marxist religious fanaticism. They're the kind of people who might actually use the things. So the world is a lot safer because we've extracted that too.
Senator Talent, this is Ryan. We keep hearing that there's an appetite maybe among the Iranian people to have a different controlling group, a different regime in charge. I've been hearing that since the days of George W. Bush, though. Is now any different from the last 20 years?
Oh, there is an appetite. There is no question, and has been for years and years. This is a sophisticated people who have a very proud history. And it was a very internationalized kind of country with a lot of contacts around the world. Before this crew got in, the mullahs got in. And a lot of the people remember they'd love to see the regime go. Now, the other side of it is they don't want anarchy. Any intelligent people fear that. And if the regime were to go without an alternative, there's that danger.
Yeah.
Plus which, the regime still has the guns. So I don't think you're going to see a popular uprising. Now, when Khomeini goes, that's going to be very interesting if he hangs on, if he doesn't get himself killed. And I'm sure this is a calculation on the part of the Israelis and the United States about that. Are we better off if he's gone or if he's here? So, this post-conflict phase is going to be delicate, but I'll tell you, the risks of what we did are so much lower than they would have been 10 or 12 months ago, and well worth accepting to get rid of that nuclear weapon.
Senator Talent, one last question before we let you go, just to set the scenario. People had, in this country, had the opportunity to choose who they wanted to be in the Situation Room for moments like this last November. And in every measurement, Donald Trump was the...
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast
for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Guy that they believed was the right person for the job. Do you have thoughts on, you know, President Trump in this moment, in this time? I don't really need to pick on Kamala Harris, but we've had alternatives, and I can only imagine how different of a course we'd be on as a country right now if it weren't Donald Trump. Your thoughts on him as a president?
Been a disaster, but I'm very proud of the president. This is what you have to do on the presidential level. He identified what the priority was, and he's had this for 15 years. I'm sure you've watched the clips of him saying for 15 years, they can't get a weapon. And it's a common sense, simple conclusion, but very difficult for some people to reach. And if necessary, we had the ability to take them out. He also recognized that because of what the Israelis have done in the last 9 to 10 months, the risk to our forces of such an attack were very, very low. I mean, it was technically difficult, but it was basically a milk run. And I'm not underestimating their achievement here, because it's, you know, it was a tremendous organizational effort. But Iran has no air defenses left. And I'll tell you, I've complained before and sometimes on the show how we've allowed the capabilities of the armed forces to decline, not the people in it. But we haven't done a good job of sustaining our authority or our power. But one thing we still do very, very well, we do a lot of things well, but one of them is precision airstrikes, particularly in an uncompetitive environment, and particularly when you give us time to plan it. And I'll tell you, my guess is the president will respond in a pretty merciful way to this latest attack. But if he decides to go in heavy, then it's going to be really bad for the regime.
Well, we appreciate your insight, as always, Senator Talent. And I imagine that there will be more details that continue to evolve. And we're always grateful that you take our phone call. Thanks for being with us today.
You are welcome.
Take care. Bye-bye. Senator Talent just said there, asked him what his emotions were, and he said pride and relief. I'm going to ask you guys when we come back what your emotions were. Like, how'd you feel? There's a lot of ways you can think about it. And you can game out the sensibility of this peace through strength preventative measure. You might not think it's preventative. You might think it's only escalatory. Let's discuss that when we come back here on The Annie Frye Show. Your YouTube live chat poll for today. Go to The Annie Frye YouTube channel and vote. You can do it on your YouTube app on your phone. You can pull it up on your desktop computer and go up to YouTube. If you type in Annie Frye, F-R-E-Y, you'll see today's live broadcast. There's a live chat every day with the live broadcast. You can participate that way, and you can vote. The live chat poll is in the live chat. That's why we call it that. Do you support President Trump's Iran strike? Yes or no? Come tell us. We'll be right back.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.